Hello and welcome to the Food Manufacturer Podcast, your monthly dive into the food and drink manufacturing industry and the personalities driving the sector. I'm your host, William Dodds, and with me today I have Food Manufacturer Editor, Bethan Grills.
Hello, lovely audience. Yes, it's my turn to co-host. So basically, I'm going to sit back and relax, Will.
But I hope you're not going to relax too much, because we've got plenty to get through.
All right, go on, tell us what.
So in this month's episode, we talked to Mike Woods, the founder of inclusive celebration cake maker Just Love.
That's right, we're going to be chatting to Mike all about his life, his motivations for starting Just Love, and what drives him to succeed.
I think it makes for a really interesting conversation, so shall we get on with it and speak to Mike?
Let's do it.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, let's just get started off by going right back to the start and asking, what was it that first attracted you to a career in the food industry?
Would you believe I'm an accountant by profession, and I was invited into the food industry as an accountant to help a factory work out how to make profit, if you like, or cut waste and do various different things. But as soon as I got in it, I really, really enjoyed the process of making good food, you know, and was encouraged to look for new products, new ideas, new concepts that we could bring to market. And just bringing new products to market in food has been fabulous. Really enjoyed the journey all the time.
And you founded Just Love back in 2009. What was the inspiration behind your business model?
Yes, so I've, as I say, been working in the food industry for quite a long time, making cakes of very different shapes and sorts. But I have three children, and two of my three children were diagnosed with severe nut allergy. They operate at the sort of 6 out of 6 anaphylactic level on nuts. So if they were to consume a nut, they're in serious trouble in the way they were working. And the cake business I was working for at the time had to put may contain nuts all over the packaging, because we handled marzipan with almonds in it. We handled walnuts with, yeah, coffee and walnut cakes, etc., etc. And I just felt like it was unfair. They couldn't buy cake. It was literally no cake on the marketplace was safe for them to eat in 2009. So I felt compelled to do something about it. So somebody who can make cakes, but also somebody who understood allergy very well, could I put the two together and combine it into one factory solution?
That must have been really scary as a parent, having you know, two children with such a severe allergy. And I can imagine, as you said, it must have been hard for your kids as well, growing up with birthday parties and that feeling of inclusivity.
Yeah, very much so. So very much at a young age, where there's a lots of school parties for birthdays, etc., they were often excluded. They were actually asked not to come, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I get emotional now, you know, when you think, you know, it's a bit of a bother if Danica comes, or a bit of a bother if Raw comes, you know, because they're scared. The parents are scared, you know, of with something going wrong at their child's birthday party, things like that. So it was really hard. And we always felt we had to stay. If they were invited, you've got to look after them and watch them. As somebody who's 6 or 7, surrounded by food that could really harm them, you know, you're on your vigilant guard all the time in those sort of situations. So, and the cake was always almost the centerpiece of a birthday, isn't it, really? You know, and then they were given a party bag at the end and said, well, you can't have this because you've got the allergy, you know. So they were very much felt missing out, really, or excluded from lots of those occasions. Protests.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, that was your inspiration, but you're still such a passionate leader, you know, about creating free from products. And I know that you are expanding your range. But what still makes you, you know, want to do this? What makes you as enthusiastic today as when you started back then?
Oh, when we first started, we were only nut free, so very personal to us. It was a nut free sort of project. But we used to get messages after messages from people saying, what about me? I've got an egg allergy. What about me? I've got a milk allergy. Why can't I have a cake? So we've been on a journey of removing allergens. And so far, we've got to 13 out of the 14 allergens are safe cakes from us. We've got one more to go, and that's soya. So there is a real motivation to get to the end of that 14 allergy. I would imagine, I don't know what might happen. I don't know legislation, but maybe there'll be more allergies declared as got to be declared. And then we'd keep on that journey of making sure cakes are safe for everyone. So it's kind of, you would want everyone to feel they can have a cake. And so we're not complete with that. And equally, you know, we're very much focused on birthday cakes, but there's a multiple of other occasions where cake is used that is for social occasions, and we haven't even started with that yet. Do you know what I mean?
You'll quite literally have your cake and eat it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of moved as well from being all about the allergy to now being about inclusivity. So it's not just about the person with the allergy having a cake, because if it's a bad cake, everyone else doesn't like it, you know. So it's got to be a good cake for the person with the allergy and the person without the allergy to sit together and eat at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, Free From seems to have this perhaps unfair perception that it's going to taste bad because it's Free From. And it's not. And someone that is free from gluten, there are some amazing alternatives out there. But yeah, that's incredibly interesting, Mike.
Yeah, and I, as someone who's been at an event where Mike's cakes have been available, I can definitely assure you that they taste just as good as any cake I've had. And I'm not just saying that because he's appearing on our podcast.
No, but it's important. I mean, again, Danica, my daughter, would say, you know, when cakes were, you know, especially some of the breads, you know, the allergen-free stuff wasn't very good when it first came out. And you don't want, you know, we've got this sort of phrase in us that every child deserves a smile on their face around their cake. So if you've got the allergy, you're having a cake's one part of the equation. But if it's a bad cake, that don't make you feel great. So we do passionately want to make sure that everyone gets that joy from the cake. So it's safe, but it's joyful. There's a smile. That's what you want, isn't it? The smile on the child's face when the cake's placed in front of them. So that's the motivation, really, just to make sure we get to those 14, but then start to fulfill the other occasions where people do want cake. You know, grandma coming around for tea and sharing it together. Well, you know, taking a snack to school, you know, sort of thing for those, you know, and the school can be quite a scary situation for cake consumption. You know, so that's my passion still, to get out there and make that whole experience more peaceful and more joyful for those with the allergy and those without.
Fantastic. And you can really see that passion coming through with the way you talk about it. Moving on to your kind of philosophy as a leader. On LinkedIn, you described yourself as a faith-led team builder. Yeah. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't preach, but I have got faith in the Christian sense in that my mind. I don't, you know, I share that openly. But it's more for me about, again, getting people engaged and getting people feeling like they belong, you know, feeling like some things, you know, there's a purpose. So for every staff member here, they know of our children's allergy. Danica works here, you know, so they recognize that when we first started in 2000, first cake was made in 2010, we used to say often that you're putting such a broad smile on some children's faces. Yeah, we were making something like 96 cakes a day at the time. we make quite a bit more than that now, but 96 cakes. And each one of those was going to a child who previously had never had a cake. And by sharing that with the staff and giving everybody a sense of the you're doing this with a reason, I think people buy into it and they want to work in an environment where they know they're doing something meaningful. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? So I've always, and when I've come from the bottom up, well, that's just the way I started. You know, my first job was making the tea and delivering the post. You know what I mean? So I've kind of worked from the bottom up, and I know when I'm at the bottom, if your opinion is asked for, if you're heard and listened to, and you know you're doing it for a good reason, it's a better place to work.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense to me.
You want people to want to work in the environment, you know what I mean? So that's, I've always felt that from day one, really. And when I was working as MD of other businesses, I had the same mindset. I haven't changed because I've suddenly set my own business up. You know, it just, for me, I want everyone to feel engaged and aware that they're doing a good thing, you know, for those with allergies and those who around those with allergies.
And I understand that you also fulfill a mentoring role with the charity Barnardo's. Could you just let us know a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it was young teenagers predominantly who were, you know, skipping school and things like that, you know. So, and I got so much out of the process of just understanding the environment that was trapping them a little bit sometimes, if that makes sense, you know, and to work with them and understand what their, you know, issues were. And very often they just needed somebody to hear them, you know, and just, you know, just to say, you know, we used to, you know, drive around in the car, and you often find that when you're sitting side by side in a car, it's a non-threatening situation. Whereas in a workplace environment, when you're facing each other over the desk, it can feel a little bit intimidating. Whereas you sometimes just drive around, talk, and you give the young person an opportunity just to speak and be heard, you know. In most of the cases, it was, you know, they were in an environment that was quite challenging, you know. So I always look back and thought I got so much more out of that than I put in.
You're evidently a caring person, Mike. I mean, you're volunteering, creating a company that's got such a heartfelt story behind it. But is there anything that, you know, really concerns you? You know, you care a lot about others, but what sort of keeps you awake at night, particularly as a small business owner in such volatile times?
I mean, the last 3 years, if anybody in business would say, has been challenging, you know. So if you look at it from, you know, from a political perspective, you know, I'd say my message behind me is bringing people together with cake. I'd love to think somebody who's a vegan and somebody who eats meat can sit and eat the same cake. I'd love to think somebody who voted Brexit and somebody who voted for Remain could eat the same cake. Let's start getting people together a bit more. Yeah, you know, so there's been a lot of division, and that bothers me. You know, I currently do sense society is quite torn a bit. You know, I was reading some horrible statistics about, you know, the number of suicides that have increased over the last few years and stuff like that. It's a horrible subject, but it's true. It's happening. You know, so I do worry a little bit about, and it's me on a bit of a mission around social media. You're pushed into having strong opinions, one side or the other of an argument, and then you end up arguing with each other a lot over different things. And I think I've got to do a bit more bringing a cake and bringing people together, you know, just generally as society. I've kind of thought, should I go into politics? You know, it feels a little bit divided at the moment as a nation, just being honest, you know.
It's certainly tough times. And I would say there that that's probably quite a nice mindset and a helpful mindset in the food sector, which, you know, you hear, you speak to business leaders and they talk about collaboration being so important, collaboration between partners, but also collaboration between competitors in order to solve some of these really big issues, you know, the issue of climate change. You know, how would you say, I know obviously you want to bring people together with cake, and the listeners won't be able to hear, but we can see sort of together with cake behind you in big lettering. How do you think that we can bring people together, teams together, competitors together in these kind of times?
It takes a bit of leadership from somebody who asks to make it happen, if you know what I mean. I think we had just in my local village, we had a lovely session last Easter where people in the village of all ages were invited for a cup of tea, you know, in the village hall. And that sounds a small thing, but there was people who were in their 80s and 90s who hadn't met the people who were 15 and 16 in the village at all, you know, and they were sitting there having a chat, you know. Well, somebody made that happen. You know, somebody went out of their way to try and make that happen. So I think there does need to be a little bit of leadership. So, you know, we've worked, one of our competitors is Oggs, you know, who make great cakes, if I'm honest, as well, that are on a journey. And we're trying to work together on removing egg out of some of the products. You know what I mean? Now, whether we get there or not, I don't know. But it felt a good thing to try to do that. And I think we both reached out to each other to try and make that happen. So it's a bit of leadership from some people to say, do you know what? Can we talk together over these things? Can we sit round and listen? And the environment for that has got to be, what's the right way of doing this? But like, you don't want to be doing it in my back garden or their back garden, if you know what I mean. You've got to try and do it in an environment where people feel safe to just share the thinking, you know. So not saying down the pub or whatever, but you know what I mean. It's kind of just creating situations where you can talk.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you probably have quite a lot of success down the pub.
It might well be, you know, it might well be, you know what I mean? So, and you, yeah, it does take somebody to reach out and make the first move, you know, somebody's got to do that, you know, so it doesn't just happen.
So, Mike, looking forward at the next kind of 3, 4, 5 years, what is it that's kind of pushing you to grow the business further or to, you know, come up with new products?
Yeah, I mean, we're still privately owned as a relatively small business still in the scheme of things. I mean, is a crazy statistic, I suppose, but 1 in 5 cakes, in our opinion, should be inclusive. And we worked out the other day that, you know, if you look at I think it was 48% of households now have somebody in the house avoiding some food item for some reason. And when you do the maths, that was £34 million worth of cake without me. So I do sense in the next, the opportunity, it feels, is massive to get all the categories of cake having 1 in 5 inclusive. So that in every eating occasion where you share a cake, there's a perfect cake for that occasion. And that could be worth quite a lot, you know, in the end of the day. And we are a family business. What we do in the end, I'm, you know, just under 60. I don't mind sharing that as a so eventually the family got to step up or you sell it or whatever, you know what I mean? So eventually there's a path there that we've got to work out what we do as a team. But I see such a large opportunity to expand into all those occasions. And then whoever runs it, you know, in the end, we're just in cake. What about the sandwiches? What about the other things that are equally unsafe often in those occasions? You know, I'd love to see, you know, the whole allergy world evolving to becoming quite normal in most sections, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you mentioned earlier that you've covered 13 of the 14 major allergens that are recognised in the UK, and that you in the future you hope to diversify the product range that you're delivering. In terms of kind of the challenges of trying to do that, what are you sort of grappling with?
It's usually the cake needs a certain amount of protein structure, whatever, to hold up and eat nice, so you're usually battling, like taking, egg out, let's say, as an example. What do you replace it with? And if what you replace it with is an expensive ingredient, can you afford it? Because I still don't think people want to pay too much extra for the benefits in there. So I've got a brilliant team of people working on recipes all the time here. But the challenge is what you replace. So soy is the one last thing that we do need to try and come up with a solution for. And we do use a soya milk to help replace dairy milk. If you remove soy milk completely, we've tried things like a coconut milk or an oat milk, and they haven't got the same protein structures in there. The cake doesn't stand up what you need. It doesn't either rise enough or it doesn't last long enough in there. So you have to keep looking for the alternatives to replace things, making sure they still deliver great eating cake. Do you know what I mean? So that's been our challenge for the last 13 years, is to constantly look to removing allergens without removing quality, I can see that being an ongoing process, really, We just come back from a little holiday in Japan, actually, as a family, which was my son's traveling around the world a bit at the moment, and he was in Japan, and we decided to go over there. And what was really impressive for me was, in Japan, they were really on it with allergies. And I don't know why, I wasn't quite expecting that, because in the history, we've traveled to France or Italy or whatever on holiday and taken a lot of food with us, because you just could not believe, you couldn't trust where you were going was safe, the supermarkets or whatever. So we were very pleasantly surprised and delighted to find everywhere we ate in Japan, there was you got an allergy, provide the translation cards and all the rest of it to get it all accurately understood. But they were really good.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we've probably been abroad where we've gone, wow, This is good,
It is changing out there, and as you referred to earlier in the podcast as well, the quality is getting better, but also the choice is also available as well. It's just lovely to hear that it is becoming a more inclusive environment. I know that when I go on holiday, Mike, I always make sure I know wherever I'm going. I think it was Germany last time. I know the German for gluten free. So wherever I go, I know how to say that.
Yeah.
So, Mike, just to finish up, you've obviously had quite a long career in the food industry, as you mentioned, and then obviously the last kind of almost 15 years with Just Love. If you had to offer some advice to someone at the start of their journey in the food and drink industry, looking to lead their own business, looking to start their own brand, what advice would you give them?
First thing is, do it. I know it sounds strange, but do it. Don't sit back, have a go. I think it's important. But our next bit would be then believe in what you're doing. So if there is it makes such a difference if you've got a purpose to why you're doing it. If there can be, what I mean? So that if you're just doing it for money, if you're just doing it for other things, there will be hard days, and it's harder to get through the hard days. Whereas if you've got something that you're really, really passionate about, it doesn't have to be allergy, just whatever it is, you just got a real passion for cheesecake or whatever it might be. But
who doesn't?
Believe in it. Just believe in it, you know. And I think, again, over the years, I've managed to introduce innovative ways of making things better. You know, so in one of the businesses that I was involved in, we were the first to do stone baking of pizza. And why? Because we managed to go into Naples, as it was, and saw a stone baking pizza in the day and thought, well, now we could do that in our factory, and ended up doing a traveling stone baked pizza a month. Do you know what I mean? So I think passion in for what you're doing is essential in food. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe in something that you're as to why you're doing it.
Fantastic, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a really insightful interview, and hopefully our listeners can get a lot out of it.
Appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Absolute pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Food Manufacturer Podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from and to the Food Manufacturer newsletter so you never miss the latest news and insight from the food and drink manufacturing industry. You can also find us on LinkedIn, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Facebook. The podcast is published the last Tuesday of every month, so don't forget to join us on the next episode of the Food Manufacturer Podcast.